Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words in the Bible. Help us now to think and understand, to respond and to obey as we look to what you have to say to every one of us here this morning. Would you change us and challenge us for your glory and our good? Amen. Amen. I wonder if you have a favorite proverb. Do you have a favorite proverb from the Bible or not from the Bible? I like this proverb. Where there's a will, there's a way. Or this one, many hands make light work. I like that one too. Proverbs, they're wonderful sayings. They're easy to remember, and they help us to take on the wisdom that those before us have handed on to us. But they're not laws that are set in stone for every situation, are they? Just think of the one I just said, many hands make light work. There's another proverb, which you may be thinking of as I said that, too many cooks spoil the broth. Yes. So sometimes it's good to have loads of people helping. Sometimes it can get complicated. So it's not, the proverbs are not always applicable in every situation, but they are for a certain context. So we read them like that. We don't read the book of Proverbs and take it immediately and just apply it in whatever situation we're in. But we are reading just now, and Sophie and Roxy read this for us so beautifully. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 2. It tells us why these proverbs are in the Bible. It says in verse 2, they are there for gaining wisdom. For gaining wisdom. Now, here's where I need your help. And maybe, Ramilla, you could help too, because it's your birthday. Could you come up here and hold, if Ramilla, you could hold that one up so everyone can see it. And let's see. Sophie, if you hold that one. And Roxy, if you hold that one. Hold it up so everyone can see. Now, we've got three pictures here. Can you see it through? Maybe you can see it through. So we have, so what's this one? An elephant. And this one? And this one? A tree. And can you see what is making those pictures? John, turn them around this way so everyone down here can see them too. What is making the pictures? Their words are making those pictures. There's a very clever website you can do. You can go and put in a whole load of text and it will create for you a picture using the words that are in that text. And the bigger the words, the more often that word has occurred. And these three pictures are taken from Proverbs chapter 1 to chapter 9. What I said earlier was the introduction. So these are the words. Do you want to keep turning around so everyone can see them? These are the words that occur most often in Proverbs. And you'll see in the middle, you may not be able to see, but these guys can see. In the middle there somewhere is the word wisdom. Wisdom. And there's an elephant because for some reason elephants have a bit of a reputation for being wise or remembering well. The apple from our picture up there, and then the tree of knowledge in the Bible too. So these are pictures that are using those words. Now, for you three, and also for your brother Radwin, why don't you come over here? What I want you to do, or to help with this morning, we've got some more pictures here. Do you want to come over to this table? Anyone else who wants to come to? Hayley, can I give you those actually? And what I want you to do this morning, see there's paper on the table there, is I would love for you to create some pictures, anyone can do this, using some of those words. You've got you could do an elephant, a different animal, but try and use those words to make the picture. Do you think you could have a go at that? There's tons of colours and stuff over there. Hayley will make it clear if you're not sure about anything, I'm hoping. So they're going to get on with that, and at the end of the service, we're going to look at the pictures they've created. And just as we heard just now from Roxy and Sophie, allow them to teach us as well as the other way around. So we're very thankful for our children, our young people. If anyone else wants to go over and join in, then feel free to do so. But we're going to be thinking about that word, that's the big word in those pictures there, wisdom. And I was going to say, could you give me a definition of wisdom? But I've got one on the screen, so you may want to use that one. I like this definition of wisdom. Wisdom is the practical know-how to make good decisions in life. The practical know-how to make good decisions in life. And we're going to explore that in the book of Proverbs together over these next few weeks. And for today, I just want to think very quickly, what is wisdom for? Who is it for? And where is it from? What is it for? Who is it for? And where is it from? From these verses in Proverbs chapter 1. So the first one there, what is wisdom for? I think wisdom is for life. The title of our series, Wisdom is for Life. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 2 says this, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insights, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair. Wisdom is for life. And the whole of Proverbs is intensely practical. It tells us about how we should cope with our children, with our families, with our family relationships, with our home life, with our time, with our money. It's probably the most practical book of the Bible. It's for life, and it uses observations of life to give us instruction and insight into doing life well, to help us to do what is right and just and fair. And sometimes we might think of wisdom as something that is done in Oxford or Cambridge or Coventry or other wise places around the country by professors and scientists and astronauts who go off to space. And we might think that's wisdom over there. Well, it is wisdom, but actually the Bible presents wisdom as something that is for all of our lives, all aspects of our lives. And I think if we're honest, all of us know that we need wisdom. We have a church meeting after the service today. We'll pray for wisdom. It's one of the things I get asked most often for people ask me to please pray for me to know what to do, to have wisdom in this decision or relationship or situation. We need wisdom for life. Where should I go on holiday next week? How should I react in this situation? How should I reply to this WhatsApp message or email or whatever it is that comes to my phone? How should I deal with this situation? We need that wisdom to choose well and do life well. So wisdom is not some far-off theory. It's for life. So secondly then, who is wisdom for? Well, following on from the first point, wisdom is for all. Verses 4-6, listen to this. Proverbs are for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and the riddles of the wise. We have an all-age service this morning. It says here that these proverbs are for the young. So it's wonderful that our young people are with us. And Theo is with us, because from the oldest to the youngest, wisdom is for all. It's for the simple. Now, not many of us like being called simple, but in the Bible, it means sort of naive. And it's for the wise, for the old and the young, the simple and the wise. And you know, in the Bible, people who are called wise, of course, there's people like Solomon and David and Daniel and Joseph and Moses. Those people, they're called wise. But there are also others, maybe surprisingly, who are called wise. There are some women who are called wise. There are woodworkers and metal workers and linen weavers and all sorts of people in the Bible are called wise. Because in the Bible, whether they are Israelites or foreigners, in fact, Proverbs, if you go later in Proverbs, there's a chap called Agur and a chap called Lemuel. And neither of those come from Israel. They're foreigners. And yet their wisdom is included in the Bible. Wisdom is for all, for all. And actually, James chapter 1 and verse 5 in the New Testament says this: if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So wisdom in the Bible, it's not for a select few, for those astronauts and astrophysicists and whoever else. But actually, if we ask, God promises to give to us the wisdom to choose well, to live life well, to choose to do what is right and just and fair. So wisdom is for life, it's for all. Where is it from? It's from God. Chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And Proverbs acknowledges right at the beginning of the book that the source of wisdom is not in our achievement, is not in our study, our hard work. No, wisdom, true wisdom, comes from God. And if you read right the way through Proverbs, I encourage you to do it if you want to. There are 31 chapters. You could take August. Are there 31 days in August? Or a chapter a day would get you there, wouldn't it? The fear of the Lord, chapter 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So at the beginning, chapter 9, the end of the introduction, and then chapter 31 and verse 30. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. The fear of the Lord comes up again and again through the book of Proverbs. And I think the reason is that wisdom is not without some risk. You see, the more ability we have or the more intelligence we have, the more likely we are to get arrogant, to be sort of feeling better than other people, puffed up. Well, I'm special now. And actually, that's why I showed you the video of Buzz Aldrin on the moon. Because I saw it again this last week and I thought, what an amazing picture of somebody who feared the Lord. Not a sort of cowering fear that had him shaking away in his boots. No, he wanted to give honor and glory to God. He wanted to say, it's not about me, it's about God. And just think about him for a moment. Buzz Aldrin, one of the two men that NASA chose to walk on the moon. The absolute peak, top of his profession. Absolute success. Worldwide fame. How easy it would have been for him to have just accepted that and said, well, yeah, actually, I deserve this. I've worked hard. I deserve it. And instead, what he did, in an incredibly pressured situation, just amazing to imagine, packing that communion set with him, taking it there, and then preparing it on the moon on the night of the 20th, which would have been yesterday evening. He chose to quietly and faithfully honor God. And I think that's a picture of what it means to have the fear of the Lord, to honor God, reverently honoring him, recognizing who he is and who we are. You see, wisdom is wisdom by grace, not works. We talk about faith by grace, don't we, and salvation by grace. Wisdom is by grace, not by works. Fear of the Lord, it's not something we learn in school, wisdom. It's not something we can study at and get better at. It is from God. I'm sure you've all met people who have an awful lot of wisdom, an awful lot of knowledge, but barely any wisdom. And that's very possible to do, to put together an awful lot of knowledge without wisdom. And we come today, and we're about to come to celebrate communion. And as we come to this table, we acknowledge that we come with empty hands. We don't bring anything of ourselves to this table. We don't deserve to be here. We recognize that every good gift we enjoy, including wisdom, comes from God. And actually, chapter 1 and verse 1 of Proverbs says this, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. We don't come this morning to Solomon. We're coming to Jesus. And I don't know how much you know about Solomon, but certainly if you ask somebody outside of church who Solomon was, one of the few characters in the Bible they might recognize. He's known as a wise man. He's renowned for that. But actually, you know, at the end of his life, Solomon went completely off the rails. He went completely off track. He was unfaithful to God. He brought in other idols, and he really went wrong. He didn't listen to his own proverbs. Wisdom is the practical know-how to make good decisions in life. Solomon didn't make good decisions at the end of his life. The only person who's ever lived who was truly and completely wise was and is Jesus. And Jesus is the king that we come to today. Jesus is our truly wise king. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says this, Jesus is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And so we come this morning to communion. We recognize that wisdom is for life, that we all need it. That wisdom is for all of us, no matter how wise or unwise we might feel. It's a gift from God. We can come and ask him this morning to help us to become more wise.